You know, we have two trees in our backyard. When we moved there a couple of years ago, we decided to, it would be nice to have some fruit trees in our backyard. So we went to the nursery and we bought two fruit trees. We didn't know what kind to buy specifically, but we found two that were labeled Red Haven Peaches. And I immediately could see this big heaping bowl of peaches with cream all over it, maybe some ice cream on it. And we brought two home. It was great. Well, last year, they were still planted in the ground, but no peaches. The labels were still intact, though. We knew they were Red Haven Peaches trees because of the label. This year, we had a very exciting day. One of our trees produced fruit. Mind you, it was only one peach, but it tasted great. And so we have hope for some better things in the future. However, what it did to me was it proved to me that they really are peach trees. Up to now, we've been trusting in the label that some guy in the nursery had put on saying peach tree. And we had no way of knowing for sure. But now we do know for sure because we saw that one really nice peach sitting there. And, you know, we could go with the leaves, I guess. But if you're like me, a lot of leaves look the same. You know, they're kind of all kind of the shape with little jiggy jags on the edge. And, you know, somebody said, oh, that's a peach tree. Well, okay, fine. But I don't see the peach still. So I still accept that in faith. Why I tell you that little story of our two very not too productive peach trees is trees are a lot like people. There's lots of people that claim to be something, but until you see the fruit, pretty tough to know exactly what they are. And I think this is particularly true with people who claim to be Christians. And if there isn't any fruit in our lives, or that we can't recognize the fruit, you go back to the tree world, for instance, a birch tree, which we have some out the back of the house, or some maple trees. They might try and want to produce fruit. They can't do it because they're not fruit trees. So fruit is the result of who you are. Fruit is a result of a condition. Fruit, if you're a peach tree, you produce peaches, or at least peach in our case. If we plant a fruit tree and we care for it properly, it will produce fruit, we hope. And today, the subject I really want to address very simply, because this is old truths that you've all heard before, but we just want to visit it again because it's good for my heart, is the fact that if we're born again and let the Spirit work in our lives, there will be fruit. The Bible has a few things to say about that, and I'm going to invite you to turn to Galatians chapter 5 initially, and we'll read three very, very well-known verses, and which you probably all could quote from heart, but we'll read them. This tells us that a real Christian who has accepted the Lord Jesus will have fruit in their life. And it says this, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that have Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, we also will walk in the Spirit. Now, I'm pretty sure that everybody here has heard those verses before. In fact, you likely have studied them. And perhaps even as a Sunday school kid, you might have stood on the platform and recited them even, or had them as memory work. So they're well ingrained into us. But I just want to look at them very briefly today, and not so much to get a whole lot of content out of them, but just remind us. Because I want each of us to look at our lives and just check. It's a checking day, okay? And see if there's some fruit. You see, I think I have two peach trees. I know I have one because it produced one peach. The other one, it's labeled peach. Red Haven peach, in fact. It could be labeled born again Christian. But there's no fruit there. So look at your lives as we go through here and see if you've got the label but no fruit, or whether there's some fruit there. And let's be honest with ourselves today. And if you do have fruit, the other thing to look for is But one peach tree that I do have that I know for sure is a peach tree, because it's more than just a label, it produced a peach. I have to admit that the fruit it's borne is pretty slim pickings. I didn't even get a piece of the peach. My wife ate it all. All in one sitting. She ate the whole crop. So, look at your life. Is there fruit? And is it really there, or is it pretty slim pickings? That's what we want to look at today. So let's just look at these very briefly. We only got a few minutes we're going to spend on, and I just want to run down this list of fruit. And you've all visited them before, so this won't be new stuff for you. But what I want to do is remind us of some very important truths. Because I was raised for a long time, I understood from people telling me that fruit in my life was seeing people accept the Lord Jesus Christ as a result of my witness. And I believe that is fruit. But that's not the fruit that this is talking about. There's a lot more fruit to a Christian life that we have to look for, because there may be some people here that have said, I've never really been a direct person in contact with someone who's accepted the Lord. And you'd have to say, boy, just I don't have any fruit in my life. That's not the fruit we're talking about here. Love. That's the very first one that's mentioned here. And this is that love that God is. That's impossible apart from God. Just want to make a couple of comments on each one of these fruits before we get to a little bit another subject here. But this is the main ingredient of this kind of love, is self-sacrificing. And that's an important thing in this world today, I think. Sure, there are other ingredients of this kind of love, and you can read them in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know, it talks about patience, not being envious, and being humble and polite and positive, and never having an end, all those things. But the main ingredient I want us to remember today about this kind of love is that it's self-sacrificing. And that's important. You know, God develops fruit by the Spirit in a believer's life by allowing them to experience the circumstances that we're tempted to react in just about the exact opposite way. Let me just tell you an example of that. How many times have you been put in contact with somebody who is the most unlovable person in the world? And God says, love them. And you know, if you can love somebody who is really on a human basis totally unlovable, and believe me, there are some of us in this world like that, totally unlovable. And for those of us, you who love us, unlovable people, that's fruit. That's what God did. Because you'll remember the gospel message, that's exactly what it is when we were ungodly sinners, completely unlovable, what did He do? He loved us. That's the kind of love that we're talking about here. Is that the kind of love you have in your life? The kind of love we have here in the world today generally isn't that kind of love. The Lord Jesus loved us when we were very unlovable. And once we realize that, then we accept Him as Savior, and then we love Him. But that's a very different kind of love that we have for our Savior than what He had for us. He loved us when we were completely unlovable, completely unworthy of us, Him, not deserving whatsoever. We wonder how in the world He could have loved us. We love Him because we get a benefit. He died for us, put our sins away, gave us new life, and a home in heaven. That's why we love Him. We would never have loved Him in the same way as He loved us. Apart from the Spirit in this fruit, we can't show that other kind of love. We can't show it to God, really, because He's already shown His love to us, and we've already accepted the benefit, so we love Him because of that. But there are people in this world that have done nothing to us. In fact, there are people that you run into every day at school or at work or your neighbors. They do some very unlovable things sometimes. How do we react? Do we react in a loving way? Or do we lash out against them or say, man, I'm glad they're not around me too much. How do we do that? That's the fruit of the Spirit. If you can love the unlovable. But we can't spend that much time on every one of these fruit. It will never get finished here. And you all want to get home for lunch, I know. So go to the second one. Joy. This is the second fruit that's listed. And again, it's the product of the Holy Spirit. But we cannot have that contentment and that satisfaction without the Spirit. In some circumstances, I think people may appear to have that, but joy is that fruit of the Spirit that is there regardless of our circumstances. It doesn't matter what kind of circumstances we are, we have joy. Paul is the wonderful example of that, I think. Can you imagine being in a dungeon singing praises? He says to Silas, let's sing number 68. No, He just sang, right? Why? Joy, regardless of the circumstances. That's what the fruit of the Spirit does. We can't be that way. I read stories of men who have been imprisoned, besides Paul, in more modern times, for their faith in the Lord Jesus. And through all that time, they've got joy. Look in your own heart. Do you have that kind of joy? We don't have it all the time, probably, if it's me anyways. But in circumstances, are we only relying on circumstances to give us our joy in this world? That's what the world does. That's the difference between the kind of joy that the Lord Jesus gives and the joy that's available to us. In fact, I would like to go and say this. In my mind, joy is probably the surest sign of the presence of God there is. Now, you might quibble with that and say, oh, no, there's another one. To me, joy is the most one. In fact, a gloomy Christian is a contradiction in terms in my mind. It just doesn't make sense. In fact, if you find yourself as a believer here today, living a very solemn, stern, tense life all the time, lighten up. Let some joy into your life. Because that's what God wants you to have. Joy. I think joy is probably the greatest witnessing tool we have. Have you ever had anybody at school or at work come to you and say, boy, you go through tough times. How do you do it? You're still joyful. Anybody ever say that to you? Or infer that to you? If they do, it's a proof that you have something of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, there are other ways, of course, but again, we can't spend any longer on joy because we just got to keep rolling right along here because there's nine of these. Peace. Now, this is a peace of God. I think that this is the tranquility of mind, peace that's based on a knowledge of a right relationship with God, peace that brings together, like we are brought together to God by Christ, peace that is never divisive. It's a peace that's available to any of us who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember what the Lord Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 14? He said this, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives." That's great. The world doesn't know anything about that peace. In fact, if you've ever been to Washington, D.C., they got more peace monuments in that city than any other city in the world. Because every time they think they finish a war, they build another peace monument. That's not the kind of peace we have. We have one peace monument. It's Calvary. He met our need there, and we have peace because of that. Do you have that kind of peace? Tranquility of mind, knowing that you have a right relationship with God. If you do, that's a fruit of the Spirit. That's proof to yourself that you've got it. It's proof to others too. But we got to keep going. Long suffering. What's long suffering? It's not a word I use in my vocabulary on a normal basis. I don't know whether you do or not, but we do use patience. And I think that's what that word means. Patience. You know, impatience, which probably fits a lot of us a lot better than patience, but impatience is rooted in selfishness. Do you know what patience is rooted in? Selflessness. Yeah, you know, you ever had been called to wait on people? And your steam is, why do they keep me waiting? Everything. That's selfishness, because you're more important than they are. On their hand, it's probably selfishness on their part too, but that's a different subject. But it's selfishness that really is the basis of impatience. So it's selflessness that we have as the basis of this patience. It's patience that endures whether our situation that we're in is just or unjust. That doesn't really matter. A great example of this, of course, is our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine the creator of the universe standing before Herod, standing before Pilate, and just being silent, just waiting for their agenda? That's patience. Not one of us here could do that. I don't believe. If you can, you're a better person than I am. You can't do that. We lash out. We want to get going. We don't have patience very often. But believers are not immune to days of problems and distress. And we need to have that patience, that peace, that tranquility of mind to stand firm in our faith during trials, during troubles. Patience has been defined, and this is the definition of patience that I like better than anything else. It's peace under pressure. If you're in a pressure spot, if the deadlines are crashing into you, if the schoolwork is building up, you panic, or is there peace? Yeah, you might have a little panic because you got to do it all. But down in there, we talked about the underlying arms. That doesn't sound like the right expression, but you know what we talked about this morning? The arms of the Lord that holds us. And that's what patience is. Peace under pressure. We need to have patience so we don't give up, but continue steadfastly and consistently. And our steadfast of purpose, I believe, becomes perseverance that never gives up. You know, patience develops a quiet calmness of strength if we develop it in our lives. You know, it's interesting to me that we talk about this as fruit. If you have a peach tree and you care for it, that's a good example of us. We have the Holy Spirit and we need to care for our lives. And together, those two things make a picture of that. Do you remember what Peter says? We've been studying this on Wednesday night. And if you don't come out on a Wednesday night, you're just missing all this stuff out. But that's another subject. 2 Peter, this is what we've been talking about. It says, you remember the story thing? It says, if you add to your faith, not virtue, etc. Remember that? Let me just look it up. I'll read it to you. It says, and besides this, giving all diligence. In other words, give some effort to it. Urgency. Add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to your knowledge temperance, and to your temperance patience. So my question is, if it's a fruit, why do I have to work for it? The answer is, you have the potential for the fruit by the Holy Spirit that you'll never accomplish on your own. But it just isn't going to happen. You know what? That peach tree I bought has the potential to produce peaches. But I've got to care for it. Because, you know, in my area where I live, I can walk through the bush, which I do a lot, and I find all sorts of old apple trees. I guess there was old orchards in there, or they seeded themselves or something, but there's a lot of them, and beautiful at the time of year when the blossoms are out. But you know what? The fruit's pretty crummy. It is. It's small little stuff. Probably in its heyday, it had nice, big, juicy red apples, but now it's like this, worms, holes in it. You know what they're really good for? Throwing at people. That's about it. That's what kids do with them. They're not. Why? Because the tree's not being cared for anymore. The fruit's still there. The potential's still there. But it's not being cared for. We've got to care for it. And Peter says, give it some priority in your life. Give all diligence. And he says, patience needs diligence. In fact, if a little bit I know about Peter is, I don't think that fruit came real easy to him. I don't think so. And he mentions that one specifically in his book. He don't mention joy and love and peace, because he probably had those okay. Patience was tough. And patience is tough with some of us. So it is a fruit of the Spirit of a yielded life, but Peter says it needs effort. And I don't think this fruit came easily to him, and I don't think it comes easily to us either sometimes. But anyways, we've got to keep going. Time goes flying by. Gentleness, a quality that mellows our natural harshness and austerity. I like that for a definition of gentleness. Nothing coarse or rough. Or maybe we should say, nothing macho. You ever heard that word these days? Macho. You know, macho man kind of guy. I don't even know what it means. I looked it up in the dictionary this week. Not there. I don't know. Webster didn't want to invent either, I guess. I don't know. But to me, it means the opposite of gentleness. It's kind of the macho guy. I look at our Lord Jesus Christ. He was a real man. He was, in fact, we might call him, he was a real man's man. Can I use that expression? You know what I mean when I say that? Our Lord was not soft in any way. He was hardened by the elements that he lived out in. He was a man's man. And he was capable, you remember, of putting a scare into the crooks that were in the temple. Nothing soft about him. But he was never macho. In fact, you know how I know that? Because in John chapter 13, he said this. He said, when he knew that all things were in his hand, he'd been given everything. He knew that. What did he do? Say, I'm number one? No. He didn't say that. What did he get down on his knees and washed his disciples' feet? Gentleness. No wonder children loved him. He was gentle. He was kind. There was nothing harsh. Are we like that? That's fruit of the Spirit. Well, we got to keep going. Goodness. Goodness. That refers to a moral worth, a life that's ruled by really good things. And it's seen, I think, in our concern for other people. And in our fair dealings with other people. You get the wrong change? Do we just go back when when we need more? Or do we take it back when they gave us too much? How is it? How's our dealings? Do we keep stuff under the table? Is our dealings fair? That's goodness. Yeah, we think of goodness as being goody-goody. Yeah, that's not goody-goody. Our Lord wasn't a goody-goody. He was a fair dealer straight up. That's goodness. His wife was ruled by good things, and that's the way ours was, should be. It's a Christ-like quality, and although I believe we have a lot of people in this world that have very high ethics and integrity, without the Holy Spirit, I don't believe it's possible for a person to always have that quality in their life of goodness that rules their life. It should rule our lives. Does it rule our life? Check your life out. Faith. That's the next fruit that's mentioned here. Now, this is not so much the faith, salvation's faith, that we put our faith in the Lord Jesus to accept the fact that He died for us at Calvary. And that's a wonderful and very necessary faith that we have to exercise. But this faith has far more to do with fidelity, with reliability, with faithfulness. When our lives are yielded to the Spirit, that's the way our life should be. We need to care for it. We need to make sure that we have credibility. We need to make sure that our word can be relied on. We need to have fidelity in our life. That's the kind of faith. Do we have that? Can't spend a long time there because we got to keep going. Meekness. Meekness. What is that? Well, I used to have that, you know, I sort of figured out that it was weakness. It's not. That's what Hollywood wants us to think. Because never yet have they turned out a private eye on their TV shows that's a meek person. That's not what they think meekness is. They think it's a weakness thing. And they want people that appear weak to be meek. That's not meekness. Meekness is strength under control. In fact, I might go as far as to say it's the opposite of self-interest. It's humility. Moses is told us in the Bible was the meekest man on all the earth. And yet he led a people, a large group, maybe a million people for 40 years. You don't get a leader leading a million people that is a weak person. You get somebody who has his self-interest under control. You get somebody who has his strength under control, focused on the job at hand. That's meekness. Our Lord was the prime example of meekness, of course. Not my will, but yours. That's meekness coming out. Can I ask you a question? Are you a self-promoter? Are you a Christ promoter? That's what it stems from, meekness, right there. Well, we got to keep going. What's the next one? The next one is temperance. Temperance is one that's very difficult for us all to handle. It's listed as, I guess, the last fruit, is it? Yeah. And I think temperance is self-control. You know, self-control and discipline in Canada today is not easy for people. It's just a hard thing. To have control over passions and over our appetites and our temper, it's just kind of beyond most people. You know, this week we had a hockey dad that was arrested for yelling at his coach because he lost it. We have road rage in Flamborough, where I live. Like, this is supposed to be the country. We had a case of road rage in the middle of Carlisle. Does that make sense? Like, there's only 12 cars. Okay, people can't control their emotions. Sure, some people seem to sometimes have this tremendous control, you know, like an athlete in training. Tremendous control while they're in training or during their career. Tremendous control. But how often, have you ever met an athlete like 5 years after he's retired, played hockey for 20 years, right at the top of the game, and all of a sudden that self-control is not there anymore. It was something he did with effort, but it's not natural to him. We as believers should be different than that. We should be different. Moderation, without extremes that are so natural to us as human beings, can be the result of effort, but it's the fruit of the Spirit of a yielded believer. And you know, Peter included this also in his list in 2 Peter. And it's something that really required effort by him, I believe, and I think it requires a lot of effort by us, diligence. We need to give it priority. It doesn't come easily. Some fruit grow better than others. You know how you can stick a tomato plant in the ground and you just kind of get tomatoes. You don't really need to do too much for them, although I shouldn't say that this year because ours were terrible, but it's kind of easy to do it. As opposed to, like, well, peaches, they take a lot of care, obviously, because we're not giving them the right kind of care. Some fruit come easier than others. This is one that doesn't come easy. Peter said, you need to add this to your knowledge. You know, the Stoics back in Peter's day, They used to say that knowledge removed restraint. That was one of their teachings. They said that knowledge gives license to be free to indulge in excess passions. That's one of the things. Peter says, wrong. Knowledge does not separate itself from ethics. Our tongues, our minds must be under control. As believers, our choice of company, the places we go, the things we do, they need to be under control. No, I don't have a list up here, so it's okay to go here, okay to go there, not here. That doesn't make sense. It needs to be under control of the Holy Spirit. Where we go, what we say, who we deal with. That's self-control. Peter says it takes a lot of priority, effort in our life. Our Lord, during his temptation, showed a lot of this quality. Can you imagine him again before Pilate? Tremendous self-control. Tremendous temperance. You know, we can wear the label of a Christian, but if there's no fruit, the label could be wrong. Fruit in our lives tells us whether we are Christians or not. It's a proof to the world, and it's a proof to ourselves. Matthew chapter 7, there's a little verse that says, by their fruits you shall know them. That's a good principle to follow. Is there fruit in our lives? And again, I want to reemphasize the fact, this is not fruit in salvation. It's not, oh, I've seen 15 people saved through my testimony. That's wonderful. God bless you for it. This is the fruit that when your books that you're carrying to class fall and the papers spread all over the table, what do you do? The world's looking. What comes naturally? You pick them up and carry on your way. That's everything under control. That's how we deserve. Moment by moment, our lives should display the fruit of the Spirit. Not just in the good times, not just in the bad times, all the time. We should be able to show the peace, the joy, and all the rest as we walk through our lives daily. Isn't it make sense that if we're born again, which says we have new life in Christ, shouldn't it show some way? I was brought up thinking that it showed because I wore a tie. Huh? And then I got into the business world and found I had to wear one all the time. And that didn't seem to work too much. That's not where we come from. Our lives should show a difference because of whose we belong to. If we belong to the Lord, he's given us new life, there should be fruit. Our time's gone. It's a simple study. You all know it. Check your life. Let's pray. Father, we're very thankful for thy word that teaches us very simple, fundamental things that affect our daily lives, because without it we would be lost. And so, Father, we return thanks for the gift of the Holy Spirit this morning that enables us to have the potential to live lives that are pleasing to thee. And Father, we pray that each one of us might give diligence to the fact, priority and effort in our lives to live lives that would be pleasing to thee. We ask, Father, thy blessing upon the word spoken to the children downstairs. We ask that thou would dismiss us with thy blessing. Bring us back again this evening and others, Father, that do not know thy Son as Savior, to the gospel tonight. And Father, we pray that souls will be saved for thine honor and glory. In his worthy and precious name we pray. Amen.